Thank you, Dave. They've already left, but rumor has it that if you call Dave, you will not get a hold of him because Heather has stolen his phone and hidden it from him. You did? Okay. Okay. All right. We're going to continue our series on the Everyday Gospel Devotional. You can see the scripture that we'll be covering this morning, Jeremiah chapter 14, all the way through chapter 37. Obviously, I'm not going to read that to start with, but I would like to go ahead and start with a word of prayer, and then we can begin. Father, I thank you so much for your goodness to us. I thank you that you remind us day in and day out of your faithfulness and your love and your concern for our lives. Even when there are times that we don't think you are there, you are. Even though there are times that we think you aren't listening, you are. We thank you that you are always faithful, always true, and never change. As we come before your word this morning, I pray for wisdom and understanding. We've had a chance to listen to a young woman who is going to serve you in another country. We've had a chance to be excited about Jordan's baptism last week and the future that he has in the faith. We've had an opportunity to hear about women who are trying to grow in their faith. But Lord, it really comes down to each one of us making that same decision. And I pray that as we come to your word, that you will help us to have an open heart, help us to understand what we're going to be reading and studying, and Lord, help us to apply it. And I pray that as I bring the message this morning, that you will help me to step aside and that we might see Jesus and Jesus only. For it's in his name I pray. Amen. I think a very common question that many people ask down through the years is, what does God want me to do with my life? I think that's more really prevalent, especially in young people who are trying to get their feet wet by choosing maturity and trying to figure out what exactly God wants them to do. I know I asked that question when my dream of being a professional baseball player or a professional basketball player turned out to be a pipe dream. I had to ask myself the question, well, what are you going to do with your life? I checked into the military, but the recruiter called my parents, and they all three decided that the military was not for me. It's probably a good thing, because about that time, the Vietnam War was really picking up steam, and I'm not really sure that I could have handled that type of pressure. But you can see the path that over 50 years ago I chose, and that is to follow God in being a pastor. Not even adults are immune to asking that same question. You have a 40-something career woman or a mother who feels tied down to a life of babies, bottles, and brunches, saying, is this all there is to life? Or you have a middle-aged man around the age of 45, when many men go through what is called the midlife crisis, and they ask themselves the question, is this all there is to life? Is this all I have? The truth is that God does have plans for each one of us, no matter our age. And I want to use Jeremiah's words today to simply investigate that claim. And I'm going to make two claims this morning, and I hope that, you know, somewhere along the line it speaks to you. The first claim is this, is that God has plans to renew us. No one knows when or how God will work. I pray daily that God will do a work in my heart so that I might become more like him. But I have no idea what that means, what that entails, how he's going to do that. We ask questions like, well, if I pray that, will God put me through a crucible of fire and test me to my limits? If I pray that, will I find myself in a situation that will require me to call on God with everything that's in me to rescue me? If I ask that question, Will a health or a family or a job crisis cause me to question my faith? If I ask that question or make that statement, will God lead me to someone who shares God's truth with me that simply rocks my world? Now, I raise those hypothetical but real questions to simply show that however you answer those questions, God is going to do what God wants to do in each of our lives in a different way. There is no cookie-cutter way that God's going to operate in our lives, and he's going to work according to our abilities. However, if you look at Jeremiah, we are given some idea of the picture of ways that God will work in our lives. And I want to give you two of them. First of all, sometimes God works in our slow or Sabbath times. Now, when I use the word Sabbath, I want it to become a general word. I'm not talking about the Sabbath day. I'm talking about Sabbath as a time of slowing down or a time of reflection. Now, we have to acknowledge that back in the Old Testament, the Sabbath was a special day to the Jewish people. If you are familiar with the Bible in the Old Testament, as they wandered through the wilderness, they came on a period of time where God provided them with manna. And he provided them with manna. He said, I don't want you to work on the Sabbath. So on our Friday, I'm going to provide you enough manna that you're going to have to take 2 days. You take today and tomorrow, and you prepare it so that tomorrow, the Sabbath day, you don't work. So it was a day of basically doing nothing, kind of like what Dave was talking about, of needing a time when we slow down and we do absolutely nothing. Now, it's important, folks, that we slow down, that we set a day or two of rest and quiet and worship. And maybe we just need to reset because of the struggles we're going through. Like Dave, I tend to be a workaholic, and Joe will agree with you on that. I don't know how many times she has said, you need to stay home, or you need to slow down, or you need to be with me. But I always have something to do, and so I need to take this advice myself. Sometimes God works on us by telling us, slow down and find the Sabbath time. But then there's a second way that God works. Sometimes God works directly on us. If you go to chapter 17 and chapter 18 of Jeremiah, chapter 17 talks about the Sabbath, which we've just talked about. But in chapter 18, Jeremiah gives us a picture of probably the most popular picture that he is familiar with, and that is the potter and the clay. Now, if you are anywhere familiar with that, you know that there is a potter and he has clay that he is to form. Now, as he's using his hands, he is also moistening that clay and forming that clay into whatever he wants it to be. Now, that's what God does with us. God is using his hands, the circumstances, the times around us, the people involved in our lives, and he is using them to form us. Now, there are times that we're very pliable, and God, you know, doesn't have to do a whole lot of work on us. He's just, oh man, this is good. But then there are times that God has to go, I got to start all over. Why? Because we've messed up. Because we've gone our own way. Because we think, I know best. And God has to start all over again, and then there he goes. He's using his hands, and he's forming us again into whom he wants us to be. So God is constantly molding and shaping us into the people he wants us to be, into the person he wants us to be. And sometimes, as I've said, that requires just a soft, gentle hand. And then sometimes it requires hands of strength, in which he has to just crush the lump of clay and start all over. And just as I said, no one knows how God's going to work. Sometimes God uses another person Sometimes he uses a circumstance. Sometimes he uses your own reading. Sometimes he just comes to you and says, now, Bill, you need to stop. You need to slow down. You really hurt that person. You need to go back to that person and apologize. But God, I don't want to. That's okay. But we need to go back. And so God is constantly working in our lives, and he is constantly working to change us. But then there's a second thing that God does, and God has plans to bless us. I want to get into this. As I get into this, though some of you may not know me well enough, but there, I want to say this to start with. There's a teaching out there called the Health and Wealth Gospel. I have three things to say. Number one, it's not the gospel. Number two, I lost my place here. Number two, God will not always bless you with good health and good wealth. And number three, that teaching is heresy. It's not rooted in the gospel at all. So what do I mean then when I say that God has plans to bless you? Am I telling you then that God will always pour out good things on your life? Am I telling you that God will never make you suffer? Well, if you look at the health wealth gospel, that's what they teach. But I want to take some of the thoughts from Paul David Tripp over the last week or so. I want to rework them so that I understand them a little bit better, and maybe you will too, and just share them with you. Number one, what I mean by God blessing us, we cannot brag about our righteousness. It is best to brag in Christ alone. Chapter 23 begins with some very sobering words. It says, what sorrow awaits, we're in Jeremiah, by the way, what sorrow awaits the leaders of my people, the shepherds of my sheep, for they have destroyed and scattered the very ones they were expected to care for. What Jeremiah confronts them with is the very people, the very shepherds who were supposed to care for God's people were actually misusing them, and they scattered like sheep with no shepherd. And into those dark days came people like Jeremiah, who spoke the very words of God. And he also told them about one who was to come. Last week, we talked about Jeremiah chapter 3, verses 5 and 6, where Jeremiah prophesies about one who is coming. And that one who is coming is Christ. And so what Jeremiah is trying to tell them is that if there's any doubt in your mind, there will come a Savior, and his name will be Jesus. Paul David Tripp said this on August 12th, and I quote, ultimately, there's only one solution to the many things that break our hearts and complicate our lives. It is the reign of the risen and ascended King Jesus. See, what basically he has said is the only answer we have is not in our own human makeup, it's not in what the world offers. The answer to our hope, the answer to our questions is found only in Christ. What better way to bless us than to give us Jesus as an answer to our questions and all our confusion? So, that's the first one, is to brag not in our own righteousness, but to brag in Christ alone. The second one is God's plans. Please hear this. God's plan for his children are never evil. In chapter 29, we find probably what is maybe Jeremiah's most famous passage. You've probably seen this on what the late Keith Green, who was a Christian singer back in the 80s, used to call Jesus junk. You see it on t-shirts, you see it on coffee cups. Let me read this to you. You will be in Babylon for 70 years, but then I will come and do for you all the good things I promised, and I will bring you home again. And here it is. For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. And that's what you see plastered on everything, that God has all good planned for us. But you've got to finish reading the text of this. He says, in those days when you pray, I will listen. If you look for me wholeheartedly, you will find me, and I will be found by you. I will end your captivity and restore your fortunes. I will gather you out of the nations where I sent you and bring you home again to your own land. That passage of Scripture was not written for us. That passage of Scripture was written for the Israelites. And God was saying that my plan for you people, my people, the Israelites, is to bring you home. It's to, for good things. Now, can we say that? Yes, we can say that. We can say that God has plans for us. If you want to know what that plan is, Romans chapter 8, verses 28 and 29. If you don't want to turn there, that's fine. I'm going to read verse 28 and then ask you a question. Romans 8, 28, I think most of us know, and we know that God causes everything to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose, right? You know that verse? What's verse 29 say? Let me think about that one. I don't know. For God knew his people in advance, and he chose them to become like his son. So the old King James, you say that we might be conformed to the image of his son. The whole purpose of all of this happening to us is not so that we can raise a fist at God, not so that we can take credit for anything. The whole purpose of everything happening to us is for God's work to be done in us so that we might become more like Jesus. That we might become more like the image of Christ. You see, God is waiting patiently for us to come to full surrender. He wants us to be willing to say, Lord, whatever it is you want, I will do. Whatever you need, I will be. He wants us to come to full surrender. And he is promising in this passage, his grace, his mercy, and his love to those who will submit to him. Now, if you're like me, that gets hard. Because I know better, right? You know what's best for your life, don't you? Sure. But then God has something different planned for us. But what we need to remember, that whatever happens to us, God is not being evil. God is not being mean. God is not being oppressive. But God's purpose is that we might become conformed to the image of Christ. There's a third lesson we can learn. Our hope in this life is not based on what this earth offers, but what is coming. The theologians call this covenant hope. I just call it hope. It's the kind of hope that lasts. It's kind of the hope that is not based on what the world offers to us, because it's fleeting. It just blows away. The hope that we have, folks, is the hope that is firmly built on Christ. The firm foundation. The rock on which I stand. That's the hope that we have. That's the only hope that will not disappoint you. How many of you have been disappointed? You thought you were heading in the right direction, and all of a sudden, poof, it blew up in your face. Hope doesn't disappoint, not his kind of hope. You know why? Because he is secure, he is trustworthy, and he is always the same. You never have to wonder if God's going to wander off. You never have to wonder if God is just going to say, I'm done with him, I'm done with her. He or she ticks me off and I want nothing to do with them. You never have to worry about that. Because hope doesn't die. Hope stands firm because the author of hope is the one who stands firm. And he is unchanging. One last thought. Every hard thing that God brings upon us is designed to bring us to a more powerful conclusion. God never intended for us to stay the same, never intended us to leave us as we are. You know, there's a hymn, old hymn, that we used to sing way back in my day called Just As I Am. Some of you may have heard it, even though it's this day. The author of that hymn was Charlotte Elliott. And there's quite a story behind all of that and how she came to Christ. But when she came to Christ, she wrote the book or the song, Just As I Am. Just as I am, without one plea, but that the blood was shed for me. But here's the principle. God accepts you and me as we are, but he doesn't want us to stay the same way that we were. God is always in the rebuilding business. He's always in the restoring business. And so when he takes me as I am, baggage and all, he wants me to drop the baggage. He doesn't want me to say, God, I accept you. Okay. And so I'm limping around carrying this big suitcase of baggage with me. He says, leave the baggage. I will accept you as you are. And remember what Romans chapter 8, verse 29 says, that we are being conformed to what? The image of his Son. I want to close with this quote that's in your bulletin. Paul David Tripp made it in August, on August 16th. He said, hardship in the hands of the Lord is a tool of his grace. He doesn't lead his children through difficulty just because he has the power to do so. His intentions are gracious. He desires that we turn to him and we find forgiveness in him. We may not always understand God. That's guaranteed. And we may not always understand God and his ways. That is guaranteed. But we also need to remember that he has our good in mind. And that is a guarantee. So I hope and pray that as you and I go through this coming week, if we come in to a place that is tough, that our foundation is shaken, that if our faith is shaken, that instead of just saying, oh well, I give up, we will cling more and more and more to the hope that we have in Christ. That we will run to him and say, I can't make this. I can't do this on my own. I need you more than I've ever needed you before. And I will stand on the firm foundation of Christ. That's my prayer for me this week. And that's my prayer for you this week. That you will take that and that thought and that challenge and say, God, I will stand on you. I will not give in. I will not fall down. And I will trust that you have my best in mind. Let's pray. And Father, I thank you so much for your word. I thank you for Jeremiah's words that when we read them, sometimes we are, we get hung up on sometimes what he is saying, and we lose sight of what he is really saying. And what he's really telling us is that God is always faithful, God is always true, that God has our best in mind, even when we are going through a tough time. That he is the potter and we are the clay. That we need to be moldable in his hand. And I pray that you'll help us to be moldable. Help us to be soft, to allow him to change us and to mold us and form us into the image of Christ. And Lord, if he deems it necessary to crush us, to start all over, may we be willing to say, here I am, Lord, I'm yours. That's not an easy thing to do or to say. But Lord, help us to trust you that you have our best in mind. Go with us this week. Help us to keep our eyes focused on you and help us to realize that you are trying to make us into the image of Christ. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. If you have any questions or comments, you want to talk to me about all this, you want to say, hey, I want to know more about Jesus, please feel free to contact me and be glad to talk with you. Let's do our verse and then we'll be dismissed. May the Lord bless you and protect you. May the Lord smile on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord show you his favor and give you his peace. You go with him this week. Thanks for being with us.